Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Chris. Welcome everybody once again to DUMC. My name is Terry, as Pastor Chris has introduced me, and I'm a pastor here in DUMC. It really is just hearing what Pastor Chris was sharing about what's coming up ahead for the next couple of weeks. I'm really excited as well to really just hear and really like see what the Lord is doing and saying to me in this area of being in a family. It is a privilege of mine to be able to close this series on the church. And as Pastor Chris had did a short recap, as the first week he shared, why belong to a church? Why do we need a church? What is church? You know, and as Pastor Benny, as he shared last week, the importance of knowing what the church does for us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I'll never forget the video that he shared of Ellen's CG member or CG leader pouring sulfur in the gate and just being scared of snakes. And the whole time I was wondering to myself, what if the snake is still in the house? How's he going to get out? It was confirmed, and Pastor Mike also kind of whispered that to me in jest, of course. It was such a beautiful video and such a reflection of loving your community and loving your cell group. Now that we know what the church is, and you know what the church can do for us, the question now to ask ourselves is this, is what can we now do for the church? All right, so church, are you ready to read scripture? Today we're going to be reading from the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 10. Can I invite you to your feet? And let's read scripture out together. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Holy Spirit, take over. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us today. Lord, would your words, Lord, speak volumes over whatever stories I may share, whatever points that I have prepared. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us today. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. You may grab your seats. Just a quick context on what we just read. As my Bible teacher would tell me, you know, in everything, to fully understand something, we need to read and understand the context and history of it. And by my Bible teacher, if you are listening to this, I hope you're proud that I still remember that. Now, Paul's letters to the churches of... the book of Galatians is about Paul's letters to the churches in Galatia. Now, he writes very, very passionately to the churches as they face a main issue, I would say, amongst a couple of others, but the main issue that they face is between the Jewish messianic movement and the non-Jewish Christians. So an example would be the Jewish messianic Christians would preach that you need to obey the Torah laws in order to be a Christian, that you need to still follow the Torah laws if you are to follow Jesus. One example, right, that they said to the non-Jewish, Christians is that they specifically mentioned that followers of Jesus Christ must be circumcised. If not, you are not a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul reminds in these letters and instructs the churches, the Jewish and the non-Jewish, that Jesus has fulfilled all the laws on our behalf, and that He lives in us through the Spirit. And through the Spirit, we may live in this new multi-ethnic Jew, non-Jew family of the Messiah, full of faith in Jesus, loving God and others through the power of the Spirit. Paul reminds the churches as well in Galatia that the gospel is not there to cause disunity amongst and within the church, but we're actually united in spirit and truth by that very gospel. So understand that that's the context of Galatians. And as we read this in chapter 6, he is now instructing the churches to say, look, this is what we need to do to each other as brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus Christ. You see, that is why the church, which Pastor Benny defined last week, is not a building, this building that we're here, or an organization, but it is truly a community of believers of all walks of life, different ethnicities, different gifts, different weaknesses, coming together to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, spurring and encouraging each other towards Christ-likeness. That's the church. So that's why each and every one of us here play a very, very important role in being the church. Hence, my big idea today is very simple. Are you guys ready for this? Don't just go to church. Be the church. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Hey, gently lah, gently. Don't just go to church. Be the church. So based on the portion of scripture that we just read, I would like to share 5 things of what we can do for the church. Right? Point number 1. As a family, we need to care for each other spiritually. Now in verse 1, it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. You who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Now, as brothers and sisters, and I love that Pastor Chris mentioned that we are as a family. And I, you know, just to let you know, as I'm a full-time staff and pastor here in DUMC, and Pastor Chris will always mention that at the end of the day, this is a family, that I treat you as a son and daughter of the house. And now, as brothers and sisters here, we need to look out for each other's spiritual lives. Amen? Thank you, Pastor Chris. Spurring each other on towards Christ-likeness. Not quick to condemn, but in gentleness and love, calling a brother or sister back to the straight and narrow. This is a very, very important point. Because a lot of times we think that as we confront and as we would like to call out, it is more of a, oh, but Pastor Terry, I'm not a confrontational person. This has nothing got to do with whether you're confrontational or you're non-confrontational. But when you see a brother or sister who is falling away in their spiritual walk in life, in gentleness and love, reach out, call out to them, encourage them and spur them on. Hey, come on, get back on the straight and narrow. Come on, come back to God. Set your faith on God again. Amen? So the first thing that we can do for the church is to care for each other spiritually. Now, my second point is this. Committing to bearing each other's burdens. Now, this is found in verse 2. And let me just read that out real quick. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. What can we do for the church? As brothers and sisters, let's learn to bear each other's burdens. Now, look to bear each other's burdens, simply thinking of others more important than ourselves. I love those type of conversations that I have with either my friends or my pastors and my mentors or even with my youth. And I love how the conversation sometimes does not revolve around themselves, if you know what I'm saying. I bumped into a friend of mine, a primary school friend, I'm surprised he recognized me. Actually, he said he didn't recognize me, but he actually recognized my voice, which was weird, because in primary school, I haven't broken my voice. Unless I still sound like a 12-year-old self. And we sat down, and first question he asked was, "My goodness, what happened to you?" I'm like, "Huh, what do you mean?" He's talking not about my weight, of course. He's talking about what I'm doing now in my life. He's like, "I never could see that you become a pastor, oh my goodness." And that, you know, that whole time as we were catching up, I was just asking him, how is he doing? What is he doing with his life? How is his wife? And how is his kids? And you know, that led on to him sharing some of his struggles or his burdens. And at the end of that conversation, I looked to him and I said, "Okay, look, I know that you're not a Christian, but you know I'm a pastor. And you know, right, that I want to help you and love you. And the one way that I can think of is to pray for you. So can I pray for you?" And he was like, "Okay, what do I need to do?" "Absolutely nothing. Just close your eyes and let me pray." So I prayed for him. And at the end of that conversation, he gave me a hug. And we went our separate ways. And he messaged me to say, "Hey, Terry, I really, really enjoyed that conversation, that catch up." And I said, "Why?" "Because it's been a long time since somebody had bothered to ask me how I was." Never underestimate the power of these words. "How are you doing? Really?" And let me say that again. Never underestimate these words. "How are you doing? Really?" Come on, friends. As a family here, let's learn to bear each other's burdens. Let's not always make the conversation about me. Although, if you do need to share, please do. Because again, we are here to bear each other's burdens. But sometimes ask each other, "How are you doing? How was your week? I know it's been raining a lot lately. Your area flooded again, nah?" That seems to be the topic of discussion a lot these days. So what can we do for the church? Commit to bearing each other's burdens. Okay, point number three is this. And honor our leaders and give support to them as teachers of the word. Now, in verse 6, we can find this in verse 6. It says, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches." Now, can I be honest and real with you here? This is a little bit hard for me to say because it may come out and sound like, "Hey, encourage me. Hey, come on. Encourage me. Say good things to me." All right, now I want to qualify and say that I am not saying that like after this, you know, I'm not saying that after this, I want to get 20 messages saying of how great my socks look or something, you know. It's not what I'm saying, okay? So please understand this. But as a church, the reality based on this verse is this. We as a church, we need to learn to honor our leaders and give support to them as teachers of the word. Support them in their efforts to bring us up in the word of God. And share all good things. What does share all good things mean? Can we remember our leaders and support them in whatever means possible to us, in our prayers and in our support as we build this body together? I am a pastor of the Next Gen, or the youth, the young people ministry here in DUMC. And it was very cute. There was this 15-year-old girl, I will not name names because she's definitely here and I don't want to embarrass her. You know, she will never do this again. All right, but she had come up to me and she had whispered to me and said, "Hey, I'm not sure if I can do this, but I would like to say something to the worship leader." Not today's worship leader, but in Next Gen, okay? And I was like, "Yeah, what is it?" "I just want to say that I'm really, really, I'm really blessed by her leading and her singing." I said, like, "Yeah, go and tell her. What are you telling me?" "Because I'm not pastor." "Huh?" Then I'm like, no, you should. You should go and encourage her. And she's like, "Oh, but no, because I'm not a leader. How can I do that? I'm not a leader. She's a leader. I'm not a leader. I'm just a 15-year-old youth." And I'm like, "No, man. She will love it. And you go and encourage her with that." support your leaders. It's not necessarily monetarily or material-wise, no, with just your words, with just your actions, with just letting them know, I'm praying for you. Thank you so much for doing that word. It will mean the world to them. Again, I'm not saying me, right? But if you want to encourage me, it's okay. Fourth point. What can we do what can we do for the church is to pursue holiness together. Now, this is found in verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Friends, we need together as a church to remind each other, brothers and sisters here, to remind each other to flee corruption and pursue what is right in the eyes of God. This is somewhat related to the first point as I shared just now. But the question that I want to ask some of us here, and actually all of us here today, is there accountability in our lives today? Are we accountable to somebody? Be it our leaders or be it our fellow brothers and sisters in cell group or in the ministry that you're serving in, is there accountability? You know, in today's world, we hear stories in recent times of church members and leaders, prominent church leaders, stumbling and falling. If we as a community of believers want to ensure that we do not suffer the same fate and we do not want to see that happen to our fellow brothers and sisters, friends, we need to flee from corruption and sow into the work of the kingdom together. And that can be only achieved when we learn to be accountable to each other. When I got married, how many years ago? 6 years ago. I remember. 6 years ago. I had this conversation with Pastor Chris. I'm not sure if he remembers this, but it was in his office and he was asking me, hey, how are preparations? How are things going on? I was like, oh, no, worried about the wedding and, you know, the usual stuff that you kind of get anxious about before your wedding ceremony. And I remember Pastor Chris just asked me this question, or he reminded me rather, Terry, you're devoting your life to Rose. You are becoming one with Rose. You have to guard against opening your heart to being tempted. And I remember thinking to myself, oh gosh, that is something that I absolutely did not think about. I was thinking about the wedding prep and all that, but he reminded me something that, look, I need to be accountable to ensure that I guard that marriage. I remember going to Rose that night as we were going to go and like plan our other wedding stuff, and I told her about the conversation with Pastor Chris, and I told her this. I said, look, I will not meet with a woman one-on-one, especially in an enclosed area. But if I do meet any of my leaders or you know, minister to any one of my members or meet parents, for example, of my youth, I'll ensure that I'll do it in DUMC, in the cafe, and you'll be the first to know beforehand. And she looked at me and she's like, yeah, okay, sure. Then I look at her and say, hey, you leh? And she's like, yeah, okay, yeah, same. But she's like, Terry, I trust you. And I say, I know you trust me and I trust in you, but you know what? We need to commit to accountability to ensure that we do not put ourselves in that position whereby we may fall. I'll never forget that. So friends, what can we do for the church together as brothers and sisters is to pursue holiness together. If you know a brother or a sister who's struggling with something like lust or pornography or whatever, sit down and pursue holiness together to say, look, would you commit to accountability? You know, one of the traits of sin is that sin loves to be hidden. In fact, sin wants to be hidden. What accountability does is it brings sin to light. You want to overcome a bondage, or you want to overcome something that you are struggling with, commit to accountability. Let's bring that sin to light. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse you from that. To pursue holiness together. Amen? My fifth point is this. What can we do for the church? Keep doing good. Now, verse 9 and 10, it says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Friends, don't give up even when it is hard. Keep serving, keep sowing into. Remember that we are sowing not what is on earth, but you know what we sow is into eternity. I want to specifically address leaders here, cell group leaders or leaders of ministry. Toiling and sowing is tough. It's hard work. I haven't done much sowing and farming myself, but Pastor Adrian may know a little bit more into this. But it is hard work. You need the right conditions. The ground needs to be broken up in the right way. The soil needs to be in the right conditions. It is hard work. But friends, leaders, if you've been toiling and sowing for years and years and years and you're wondering, God, when am I going to see the fruit? Can I encourage you with this? That the fruit at the end of it is worth it all. I think I shared this story before, and I was ministering to the school that I was from, and I think some of you also know that when I was in school, I wasn't exactly a saint. Let's not get into that. And I was sharing with the Form 5ers and the SPMers. I was praying for them. At the end of it, I was done. I was walking out, and I bumped into my ex-teacher, who, surprisingly, she still remained in school all these years. You know, when I was Form 5, she had just come in as a new teacher, and she taught us, I can't remember what subject, because I didn't really pay attention, all right, in school. Next generation, don't learn from me, that one. And I remember her bumping to me, and she was like, Tao Han? That's my Chinese name, by the way. Why are you laughing at my Chinese name? Tao Han? I said, yeah. She's like, Sai Chigu, so-and-so. And I was like, oh, hi. I said, wow, you're still here. And she looked at me and said, what are you doing here? I said, oh, I came to pray for the SPM students. Pray? No. What are you doing here? I said, oh, I'm a pastor. She almost fell off her feet. Kamu? Pastor? And, you know, it was all funny, like the principal was with us at the time, and the principal was wondering why in the world is going on. Who did we just invite to go and like pray for our Form 5ers, right? And we all sat down together in the canteen after that, and I was just talking to her about my journey, and she was sharing about her journey as well. At the end of it, she looked at me and she was crying, and she's like, I cannot be more proud of who you've become. And I looked at her and I said, you have probably sown a little bit of that into my life already. And I said, Jegu, thank you so much for being my teacher and for being so patient, for all the times that I made such a ruckus in class. The principal was there with us the whole time. And remember the principal the whole time, she's just nodding and smiling and nodding and smiling. And later on, she's like, Pastor Terry, can you come back more often, not? It's like, yeah, sure, definitely. This is my school. I mean, this is my alma mater, and I love it. And it took her so many years. My goodness. 19 years later. Okay, not 19 years. That was about 3-4 years ago. But definitely more than 10 years. And in that moment, for her to see that, wow, what she's doing as a teacher, she's sowing into the lives of these young people. They may not seem like they're getting it. I certainly didn't seem like I was getting anything that she was teaching, All right. But all those years later, to see that a little bit of what she's sowing into the lives of these young people is going to bear fruit. And when she sees that fruit, I can tell you, I can guarantee you, she was the happiest person that day. Keep doing good. Let's not go weary of serving. But remember that serving God and His body is not about the doing. Let's not confuse ourselves that whatever, you know, whenever your CG leader or your pastor will say, hey, come and serve lah, you know, do crew, you know, resonate, whatever ministry that's out there, hey, come and serve lah. Let's not confuse the doing and the being. As we serve God and His body, it's not about the doing, but it's about building into this body that we've been placed in DUMC, so that we can continue to be a blessing to the communities around us and to the rest of the body. Amen? The big idea today is this. Don't just go to church, be the church. And it reiterates what Pastor Chris, you know, has shared with us before here on this pulpit, that as a church, as this local body called DUMC, we are not supposed to be a cruise ship, right? You guys heard this before, right? This is probably like the fourth or fifth time we're saying this. We're not supposed to be a cruise ship, but a battleship, where every member of this church or crew member has a specific purpose, working together towards winning the spiritual battle against sin. Now, before I conclude today, the 5 points that I shared earlier honestly cannot be real, more real to me, as I've experienced firsthand those 5 things right here in DUMC. Now, I had not grown up in DUMC. I did not become a Christian here in DUMC. I accepted Christ in another church when I was 17. But come October this year, it will be 10 years since I came to DUMC. And to be very honest with you, it was 2012, end of 2012. And as I transitioned to this church, I remember it being very difficult. Not because this church was a difficult church, no. Because I was so used to the culture and the language and the DNA of the church that I was from, that coming here, it was tough adapting to DUMC. I remember my first time coming for celebration, and you know, even that word celebration is a very DUMC unique thing. I remember telling Pastor Gilbert, who was my first friend in DUMC, I was like, oh, what time is the service? And he's like, oh, it's 5 p.m. celebration. Service, you mean service, right? Yeah. 5 p.m. celebration. Okay, celebration. I continue calling it service until 2014 because I'm a bit slow, all right? It was difficult. I remember that first time walking in through those doors and I was in awe. I was like, oh my goodness, this is a beautiful auditorium. And as I sat down, I can't remember where, I think it was somewhere there, I didn't sit down with anyone because I think I maybe knew like 2 or 3 people in church at that time. And sitting down, and I remember being a newcomer. I remember clearly it was Pastor Moy Hao who was PIC on that day. And why? Because he taught me what the power chant is, which I won't repeat today. But I remember he asked, like, is there any newcomers here? And I stood up and everyone came to shake my hands. And I was handed like a little booklet thingy. And throughout that celebration, see, I almost said service again. I had people come up to me and say, hey, are you part of a cell group? Hey, which cell group do you go to? And I'm thinking to myself, what is up with all these cell groups? Because the previous church that I was in, they had cell groups, but that wasn't an emphasis. It was tough adjusting to that. And I remember Pastor Gilbert, I coined Pastor G, he's like, hey, come and visit cell group. I was like, okay, sure, since everyone's asking me which cell group I go to, right? So, okay, I'll come and visit your cell group. And the cell group is called G-Yoke. Okay? G because Gilbert and his wife, Yuki, so G-Yoke. And this is point one and point four for me, which is, in case you're wondering, it's learning to care for each other spiritually and learning to pursue holiness together. Because in that cell group, I experienced people looking out for my spiritual growth and spurring me on to pursue holiness. Pastor G and Yuki would constantly look out for me, challenge me, and spur me on and remind me to pursue what the Spirit was doing in my life in challenging times. I'll never forget that cell group because it was my first cell group. And some of you are here in that first group. It was the first time meeting a whole bunch of young adults and like-minded people. And we did everything together. And I was thinking to myself, oh, now I get it. Now I get why joining a cell group is important. Whereas prior to this, I've never joined a cell group in my previous church. But we did everything together. Study the Bible together, worship together, when we were stressed or not having a good week, going to cell group would be so enriching. We would just be laughing and doing all of that in M1. It was amazing. Now, our cell group grew. Now, if I say this number, some of you will be like, sure or not. But you may clarify that. You may, go and find out from Pastor Gilbert after this. But our cell group grew to about 60 over people. Now, remember, we used to gather in M1. M1 is the room in church. And we couldn't sit in one circle anymore. So we had to make three circles. And it was, I don't know how that worked out. The person sharing the word would be like in the middle. Now, when the cell group multiplied, okay, I was married at the time. And my wife was, we were expecting to, and we were going to deliver, to our first kid. I remember being in, multiplied into a cell group led by Kenny Tan. And when we had our first child, honestly, it was hard going to cell groups on Wednesday nights. I remember my wife and I, prior to that, we would be in cell group, and really enjoy it. Serve in cell group and fellowship and all of that. But when our first child came out, let me be real and say it was really tough. Because we were adjusting to being parents. We were adjusting on being so tired at the end of the day and having to sort out our kid. And, we did not manage to go to cell group for long periods of time. Our leader at the time, as I mentioned, Kenny Tan, he would constantly follow up with me and with Rose as well sometimes. And sometimes I really felt bad, when he called me and he was like, hey, are you coming today? I was like, oh man, I think I can drop by, but let's see how baby is, And every single time he would kind of catch up with me, it was not about, are you coming to cell group tonight? Hey, why you never come cell group? Hey, we need you to serve, you're the only guitarist in our cell group, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was none of that. Every single time he would call up and connect with me, he'd be like, hey, how are you doing? Don't worry, I understand how tired it is being a father because I myself, now he has 5 kids. He understood, he and his wife fully understood how tiring it can be. And he would encourage me and Rose to say, hey, don't worry about it. But just to let you know, any prayer requests or not, as a cell group, we pray for you guys later. I never at one point in that period of time, and even now having 3 kids, it wasn't a burden to us to think about doing cell group or going cell group. But it really felt as a community would say, hey, come on, let's do this together. If we cannot help take care of your children, let's pray for you. Just to let you know that we're thinking about you. We're remembering you in our prayers. Is there anything else that you need? He will constantly ask us that question. And I never felt like I felt nothing more but loved and cared for in that time. That's point number two. Now, I came on board full-time in DUMC in 2014. And I have to say that I've been incredibly privileged to be able to be part of the next-gen ministry. Cheer louder lah. There was a period of time that Next Gen was going through a rough patch, a rough season. I remember being incredibly stressed and just working towards stabilizing the ministry and thinking about, oh, you know, I need to help this person or that person out. And can I be real here and say that there were times when I was really, really, really bogged down, really stressed with whatever needed to be done. There was one weekend where I was preparing to speak at our monthly gatherings, and we call it Next Gen Live, which is every last Saturday of the month. And I was preparing to, you know, as I was preparing myself to speak, one of my leaders had come up to me, and in that very spontaneous moment, came down, put his arm on my shoulder and said, "Pastor Terry, it's going to be weird, but I just wanted to say thank you." I was like, "Ah, thank you for what?" "Thank you for loving us. And I'm with you. Don't worry. When you preach later, I'm going to cheer." They're like, "No, don't need to cheer. Okay, just listen." He's like, no. "I want to spur you on. Thank you, Pastor Terry." And boop, just walked away. It almost felt like a boost in that moment. I was ready to take on the world. And it didn't require a training or a camp or a, you know, a conference or whatever it is. It just took one leader coming beside me to say, "Thank you. We're going to do this with you." It felt, like I said, almost like a boost. And through that, the Lord reminded me to stay the course, to trust in Him. It's not in my abilities, but to trust in His abilities in leading the young people towards Christ's likeness. And we continue to do that today. And that's point number three. Honor your leaders. Finally, as I get the worship team up, and I talk about keep doing good, I have a bunch of young adults right now that are serving and sowing into the Next Gen ministry. And they will always tell me about their CG leader and their story growing up as 12-year-olds. And one particular CG leader that I always hear about is this guy called Ian Kam, which is Pastor Chris and Auntie Stella's eldest son. Now, Ian Kam, at that time, he was the CG leader for that time, the 13-year-old group. Or was it 12? I think it was 12 and 13, around that age group. And some of these boys, what they used, the stuff they did to Ian Kam, I'm so surprised that he does not have emotional scarring or whatever. Like, what they would do is before, during, after cell group, they would jump on him, they would strangle him, they would try and pull down his pants, they would take his shoes and fling it across the hall and laugh. Some of them are laughing because they know it's them. And, you know, whenever Ian would say, "Hey, are you coming to cell group?" And they're like, no, you know, ignore him and you know, do all those kind of things. Just being mischievous boys, lah. Fast forward that to today, some of these boys are 26, 27-year-olds, and they are serving the Lord with all their heart. They're giving their best to build this body. They're giving their best to sow into the next generation. And when you ask any one of them, "Why do you do that now today?" It's because of Ian Kam. Well, they're not doing it because of Ian Kam, but because Ian sowed and toiled, built into their lives, no matter how painful physically and emotionally it was to him to go through all of that, he stayed the course. He never stopped believing in them. He never stopped encouraging them. Keep doing good. Leaders, if you are here, or missionaries, if you're listening to this and you feel disheartened, discouraged, keep at it. Keep doing good. Because the fruit at the end of the day is going to be worth it. Yeah, of course, it's not just Ian Kam, but the many leaders that used to serve in the youth ministry called XYZ before. Look at where your members are today. Those that are sowing into the ministry, into the next generation, I'm sure you're proud of them. I have two challenges today for us. And in a moment, we're just going to spend some time in worship. But the first challenge is this, is that are there people today here that have yet to feel a sense of belonging in the community? Can I encourage you today? Go and visit a cell group. Commit yourself to a community of believers that would care for you, that would bear your burdens together as a community. Or if you're here and you've not been to cell group in a while, can I encourage you? Go back. Get back into a community that cares. And secondly, if you are here and you are burnt out from ministry, I know that term sometimes can be used loosely nowadays, but I'm not downplaying it at any moment. If you are here and you have been serving, or if you've been toiling in a ministry, even not just within DUMC, but even outside, and you feel burnt out, I want to pray for you today that you will receive a fresh renewal of faith and passion, that the Holy Spirit will ignite with you afresh that passion to continue serving and toiling and building into His kingdom. So even as we close our eyes here today and we bow our heads, if you are either one of the two challenges that I set out just now, we haven't done this in a while, but I just sense that we need a response here today, here in the auditorium and even online as well. With all eyes closed and all heads bowed here in this auditorium, if you want to commit to a cell group and a community again, or if you are burnt out and you need a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit, on the count of three, would you put your hands up? 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Even online, if that's you today, why don't you just click on that request prayer button? One of our prayer hosts will be praying with you. But just all of us here in the auditorium, can I invite you to stand to our feet? And let's just sing this song. Love life. sing that again.
Teach me, oh yes, Lord, you lead me.
Lead me
to live like you live, to give like you give, to love like. Love like you love, oh, teach me, Lord.
Would you teach me,
yes, Lord.
Lead me to live like you live, to give like you give, to love.
Yes, Lord. Lord, you saw the hands that were raised just now. Lord, I ask, with all hands raised in a posture of receiving, Holy Spirit, right now, fill them. Fill them anew. Lord, we ask for those that are discouraged, Lord, to receive, Lord Jesus, your love and your assurance, God, that you are with them. But Lord, we ask, Lord, for a fresh filling, Lord, of your power, of your grace over our lives today. Lord, that may we as a church, may we as a community of believers, learn to love each other, to spur each other on towards Christ's likeness, to bear each other's burdens, and together, God, as a church, would we learn to pursue holiness. But Lord, we cannot do it without you. So Holy Spirit, fill every single heart that's here today. Teach us, God, to love like you loved us. Lord, I ask for wounds to heal, for brokenness, God, to be mended today in our hearts. So do your work, Holy Spirit. Lord, let this be our prayer, Lord. To sing this.
Teach me. Lead me. Give like you give, to love like you.
Just one more time, Lord, we sing this as a prayer.
Teach me, oh, won't you lead me, Lord? Lead me to live like you live, to give like.
Lord, that's our prayer today. So Holy Spirit, once again, minister to our hearts. Continue, Lord, to do your work with us, within us. Even as we go about, Lord, another week in our lives, remind us again, Holy Spirit, about what you're saying to us and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And all of God's people say,